I was doing that for a lot of my fun nights this weekend. She was in Sarasota, Florida. She came back last night. But I picked her up at the airport, so she's back. As far as I know, she's my own.
The first name, I have not a clue what that is. Oh, okay. Welcome to the July 28, 2010 Landmarks Preservation Commission. First item on the agenda is roll call. Members present, Chair McIntyre, Vice Chair Buffington, Commissioners King, Pham, Maddox, House, Eckley, and Algenabi. Second item, consent agenda, excusal of absences. We have no call-ins that I know of.
None that I know of either.
All right. Third item, nominations public hearing. At this time, I will give the instructions for the public opening the public hearing for 1 North Broadway, Edgecliff Apartments. Katie, Chase, do you want to come up to the microphone? I'll read my little instructions to audience, and we'll have a synopsis by staff, and we will begin. I hereby open our hearing. This is a hearing to take public comment on the proposed nomination of the Edgecliff Apartments at 1 North Broadway to the Tacoma Register of Historic Places. I will invite representatives of the nomination to make a statement, then invite the property owner to make any additional comments. The public will then have an opportunity to comment. There is a sign-in sheet at the front of the room that we ask you to use. When it is your turn to comment, please state your name and area of residence. Please keep your comments brief. Following public comments, the commission will discuss the nomination and make a motion if appropriate. Staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, first of all, just before I go too far, I want to just let the audience and the commission know that there was a slight error on the public hearing notice that we discovered after it was mailed out, and that is that the word North was omitted from the address on the front page of the hearing notice. The other parts of the notice are correct, and the parcel number is correct, and all of the other correspondence we have on it is correct. But there are two buildings that have very similar addresses. One is 1 North Broadway, which is the Edgecliff Apartments, and one is 1 Broadway, which is south of Division and is a contemporary or new construction. So we've heard from a number of owners of those condos that were concerned about that. And so just for the record, that this is, in fact, the 1 North Broadway. So the Landmarks Preservation Commission will hear public comments today regarding a nomination to the Tacoma Register of Historic Places. Tacoma Register listing follows procedures defined in Municipal Code Chapter 1307.050, and it consists of a minimum of 2 separate commission meetings. The initial meeting determines whether the property meets the threshold criteria in the ordinance for age and integrity, and if the commission finds that the age and integrity standards are met, then it moves to have the nomination forwarded to a public hearing and comment period, at which the public may enter comments into the record for consideration. Following this comment period, the commission may deliberate on the nomination for up to 45 days before recommending the city council listing on the register or denying the application. There are 6 criteria in the municipal code listed at 1307.040. And so once again, the purpose of this hearing is to provide public comments or receive public comments regarding the nominated property and then to determine if the property meets one or more of the 6 nomination criteria in the city ordinance. The commission may elect to leave the record open until the next regular meeting, or if no additional comment is warranted, take action on the nomination following its public testimony. This is 1 North Broadway, the Edgecliff Apartments. These were constructed in 1919 at 1 North Broadway, originally called the Tacoma Clinic, and it was replaced by the Edgecliff Apartments in 1924. The nomination states that the Tacoma Clinic / Edgecliff Apartments is eligible for individual listing to the Tacoma Register of Historic Places under criteria A, B, and C. The Tacoma Clinic / Edgecliff Apartments is significant under criterion A for its role as one of the region's first private medical clinics. It is significant under criterion B for its association with Dr. Edward Rich, a renowned orthopedic surgeon in Tacoma, as well as throughout the Pacific Northwest. The Tacoma Clinic / Edgecliff Apartments is also significant for its association with the architectural firm of Heath Gove & Bell, the prominent Tacoma-based architecture firm that designed the building's 1924 renovations. This building is largely intact, and the addition designed by Heath Gove & Bell adds to the building's significance. The Commission voted to forward this property for a public comment and additional consideration on July 14, 2010, finding that it appeared to meet the landmarks designation criteria contained in the code. This is a nomination for the exterior of the existing building. As I noted, a number of citizens who are residents of the neighboring building to the or south of the Edgecliff Apartments have called to let us know that the north portion of the address was left out of the notice. Other information, as I said, including the parcel number and the name and so on, was correct. And this also, just to further state that the notice that was in the Tacoma News Tribune is also correct. This is just one place where it was omitted. The staff's recommendation in this case is that if no additional comments are received, the staff recommends this nomination be forwarded with a recommendation for passage due to City Council.
With that, do you have additional comments you would like to add?
Yeah, I would just say we're happy to answer any questions and maybe just to advise you that Howard Wellborn and Florence are both actively rehabbing the building, so there are minor improvements being done as this process moves along, and it's our intention to go ahead and apply for special evaluation once the building receives landmark status, and we'll prepare that nomination as quickly as, or that application as quickly as possible.
Very good. With that, I will open it up to public comment. The first name, if I butcher your name, please correct me. Patricia Mueller, is that correct?
Yes.
There's a microphone on the corner right there. That.
I am Patricia Mueller. I live in the condominiums across from the Edgecliff apartment at 1 Broadway South in the overlook two condominiums. My patio and living room window faced the south side of the building of the Edgecliff apartments. And my question is, if the building becomes an historic place, does that then require or entail that the building has to have a certain level of maintenance, appearance, and so forth? And what raises my question is that because I look at this side of this historic building, I am concerned about the looks of, for instance, the window coverings. There are dirty sheets hanging. One unit has aluminum foil that has been scratched out by a cat or two. It's just not looking the way I think an historic building might look. So my question is, are there standards that would be required to make this building be what it should be?
Would you like me to?
Yes, if you would.
Okay, thank you very much for the comment. And we're small operation, so we can do this a little bit informally, if that's all right with the commission. I'm the historic preservation officer for the city, so I am the staff to the Landmarks Commission. Any building in the city of Tacoma is required to meet minimum building standards under the city's code. Now, there are properties that are not in compliance with that, obviously, but the standards for being in a minimum repair are the same citywide, although there is, by function, an expectation that historic buildings maintained at a higher standard. And in fact, you know, in the future, there may be more mechanisms for that. It's my understanding right now, if I can, if anybody wants to edify my comments, that the building right now, as it is being rehabilitated, has been acquired recently by the Wellborns and is being rehabilitated. Part of that does entail actually fixing the building up and restoring it to acceptable condition. So if that is inaccurate, that's my understanding, though, at this point.
May I ask a question here, then? Or would you comment on that?
Sure. And Howard's right here. And Howard tends not to ring his own bell very much, but I don't mind complimenting them. The Wellborns have recognized that there is a really high-quality building here. Original floors. I mean, it really is a beautiful building. The tenant mix in the building has been absentee landlord, and it's been allowed to slip quite a bit. Wellborn's, one of the first things they did was start to weed out tenants that were just not the right people for a historic building.
Yes.
So the social improvements happened first, and now the building, the units are individually being worked on in an extraordinary way. I mean, wood window, I mean, all of the fine details being taken care of. I'll just go ahead and extend to you. It would be great for you to come over and walk through the building. If you've only been looking at the outside of the mm-hmm. building, you don't have a very good look at what's really a very charming structure. And you should come over and go through one of the units that's mm-hmm. being looked at, and you'll have a better sense of it. Mm-hmm. Things like window coverings, I think, are, you know, there's no way to tell somebody what color their drapes should be, whether it's the Landmarks Commission or anybody else. But as the standard that the Wellborn set for being in the building goes up, I think those minor cosmetic kinds of things, I think, will be a thing of the past. And
just so. Ordinary Venetian blinds are pretty minimal expense, and I don't think anyone living in the building would object to having blinds put in their windows rather than
yeah.
what
well,
they'd be using.
You know, inch thick plastic inexpensive blinds in a historic building may be better than what's there now, but that's not ultimately where we want to get in terms of the quality of the building. And for a 1910, 1920 building, I think we can do better than that.
Mm-hmm. So what did you have in mind? What are you thinking of?
We've owned the building about 8 months, making as much progress as we can.
Mm-hmm.
We've succeeded in 5 evictions, and we're upgrading. As we get an empty apartment, it goes through a total renovation, which...
I have seen one across the street. I have seen what's been going on in there, and I'm very happy to see it.
Good.
Yes.
So it'll take time, but this building is my wife's. Her ultimate goal is to get that back the way it should be.
Okay.
And she has restored a lot of Victorian houses in Tacoma, mm-hmm. which have been now show places. So just give us a little time and we'll get there.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to hear that. And I will come over. I would like to see the building.
I'll be happy to show you through
right.
the building.
Very good. Thank you. That's my comment.
Thank you. Fred Mueller.
Oh, I just signed him in.
Oh, you signed him in. All right. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to comment? With that, I will close public comment and turn it over to the commission. Are there any questions or comments from commissioners regarding the nomination?
I just want to make a comment. Let me know that I'm actually working with Artifacts on another project, but it doesn't bias me in this matter. So I just want to let you know.
Thank you. If there's no board discussion, I would entertain a motion.
I move that the Landmark Preservation Commission recommend to the City Council that the Edgewater Apartment be included on the Tacoma Registry of Historic Places, including the exterior of the existing building at 1 North Broadway, finding that it meets criteria A, B, and C.
Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and second. Discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we will proceed to vote. All those in favor of the motion to approve, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. The motion passes.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Just to let you know for your calendars, this is tentatively scheduled for the August 17th City Council meeting agenda. And so that will be considered then as resolution. If it's passed, it will be immediately effective.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chairman, Commissioners, thank you a lot. Thank you very much. With that, I close the public hearing. And we will move on to item 4, design review, old business. Item A, 1512 North 9th Street, North Slope Historic District, rear addition. Catherine Haig, please join us. We'll begin with a staff report when you...
try to rotate that in just a sec.
Okay.
So this is a 1512 North 9th Street in the North Slope Historic District. This is an item that was held over from November 12th, 2008. The commission voted to defer action on the proposal for a rear kitchen addition pending either a decision on a required variance for setback reasons or a redesign of the project. And on July 15, 2010, the variance was approved for side and rear yard setbacks to allow the connection of a 130-square-foot rear addition to the existing dwelling with the attached garage. And according to the variance decision, recent discussion with the applicant, no changes to the proposal have been made since 2008. The staff report does include the analysis from November 12, 2008, and I'm just going to provide some brief excerpts. I know we have some commissioners who haven't seen this before. Item 3, the new addition is located on the rear of the house, minimizing the visual impact to the front of the house. Therefore, the addition's location meets North Slope Historic District Guideline Number 8, which states that additions to contributing buildings are not discouraged, but should be located to conceal the new addition's view from the public right-of-way. Item 5, the new addition's proposed roof pitch is 412. However, the applicant at the time was agreeable to changing the addition's pitch to meet the North Slope Historic Design Guidelines of 512 to 1212. An amendment to the proposed roof pitch from 4 and 12 to 5 and 12 would meet guideline number 5, which states that the slopes of roofs range between 512 and 1212 or more. At the November 12, 2008 meeting, the commission determined or discussed the following: that the addition would not compromise the integrity of the existing house. They did not finalize, or this commission, or the commission 2008, did not finalize the acceptance of the proposed 412 roof pitch, which does not technically meet the North Slope Historic Design Guidelines for the roof pitch, as I noted. The applicant accepted the change to, it says 515, but that's not correct. It's 512. I will, however, note, and this is something we added in this staff report, that the addition's roof is not our primary roof roof form, and so 512 to 1212 for this size of an addition makes little difference, I think, in the appearance of the house. And based on the above, staff recommends the adoption of the above as findings and in addition, the November 12, 2008 staff analysis, and recommends approval by the commission.
Thank you.
Oh, can I make one more note, too?
Please do.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to say, just for the commission's information, that the November 2008 decision by the commission to defer a motion pending the outcome of variance in no way reflects the commission's opinion on the application. At the time, the commission has the option in certain cases of waiving development standards, like setbacks, where they conflict with the historic district guidelines. And it was not felt by the commission at the time that there was any present conflict. It didn't mean that that there was anything wrong with the proposal necessarily, but there was also no rationale for the commission to waive its standards or waive the zoning standards. And so if that makes sense, the process, the commission can waive a development standard so the applicant doesn't have to go through a variance process to obtain what is a historic design, for instance, like a missing front porch. So in this case, the commission did not request the land use administrator to waive the zoning, so they did obtain the variance as they were required to do. And so it's back before the commission now ready for the decision.
All right, thank you. Do you have anything that you'd like to add?
I, he
you pretty well stated exactly what's happened, and I don't know if you have anything to add on the roof pitch. Yeah, I did have a question.
Well, on the question on the roof pitch, the 412 to the 512, is that now understood that that 512 is the minimum pitch allowed?
Under the design guidelines, that's what the guidelines state is 512. It's up to this commission whether or not 412 is acceptable in this condition. I mean, it's not a prescriptive guideline. It's a guideline. So
I see. Well, then what I would ask for a reconsideration, even though in 2008 I stated that we comply, I probably didn't mention the fact of the added cost of creating a 512 roof pitch without any added benefit other than to meet the minimum code. The addition of the roof line, if we look at the drawings, and I know I realize they're kind of small, but it's showing that the side view, actually this says left elevation, the a 512 roof pitch would then cause the addition roof to terminate higher towards the peak of the existing roof, where it would intersect the chimney, existing chimney, and the existing rear dormer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, in that area on the screen there, and without, like I said, without any added benefit, the rear elevation shows the 412 roof pitch terminating on the dormer wall, where there's a window just below the window, and a 512 roof pitch would cause that to be 12 inches
higher,
causing a window replacement, window removal or window replacement to take effect. So I guess what I meant.
And the windows in the house are all pretty standard that size.
So what I'm asking is the commission consider allowing the 412 roof pitch so that there's not added cost to the owner.
With that, I'll open it up to comments and questions from commissioners.
What is that dimension there on the side of the...
There's a dimension that you're indicating on the...
Yeah, is that a 9'6" or an 8'6"?
That's 9'6" from the ground level. The interior wall on that wall you're indicating was a question of the height of the wall at the garage. It would be an 8-foot wall inside the building, the new wall. We considered whether we could lower that wall so that the termination of the new roof pitch would be lower, but that would put it below the interior roof lines, I mean ceiling lines now of 8 foot.
Well, I think the lower pitch actually helps the project because it makes less, it's just less roof to impact the overall project. Raising the pitch would actually make more roof, which I think would hurt the project and the overall look. I like it being a little bit more diminished. And it's a shed roof, so I have no objection to the 412. It doesn't go with the house, so it doesn't have to match. I mean, I think it looks better not trying to match.
Other comments or questions, commissioners? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
I'll move that the Landmarks Preservation Commission approve the application for 1512 North 9th Street as presented.
Is there a second? Second from Commissioner Sundell. Is there a discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we will proceed.
So I just need to have a clarification. As presented means with the...
412.
412. Okay.
Thanks. All right. Any other qualifications or clarifications needed? All right. We will proceed to vote. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Motion passes.
Thank you very much.
So we'll have a written decision to you probably early next week, but in the meantime, if you're planning to come in for building permits, you just let us know, and we can sign off on the plan set immediately.
Okay.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
I believe maybe it was just Ross and I that got the emails, but for item B, I understand that we are deferring on that application as they are still gathering graphical information. Is that correct?
Sure. I'll just I'll say to the commission, since it's on the agenda, the applicant for the federal, well, both of them actually.
Right.
The applicant for the federal building has asked that the commission defer this matter until they can get a adequate plan set for you guys to revise. Their designer was not able to meet the deadline for this meeting, and so rather than come back without what you'd asked for, they decided that they'd like to have the next agenda. And so in that case, a motion to defer just for code's sake would work just fine for that to the August 11th meeting, I believe it would be.
What is it that what reason are they asking for deferral?
The commission at the last meeting, this was considered, requested a plan that showed the locations of the seating, the landscaping, and so forth, which they didn't really have. They had the rendering at the last meeting and a overall site plan from the property, and so they were in the process of having that drafted. And so have asked that that they be allowed to present or ask that they be put back on the agenda for August 11th when they can bring those that information that was requested to the commission.
They appear to be relying on the city's arborist for landscape design. If that continues to be the condition, could we ask Ramey to come explain what her proposal is?
Sure, I can speak a little bit for Ramey in the sense that she does not intend to be their landscape consultant for this project, and so she has been providing general guidance to them if they call and ask her a question, you know, based on her professional opinions. But she's not working on any design or making landscaping recommendations for them. However, that's they have communicated with her, but I know that there's at one point, I think someone may have said that there was a report coming from the arborist, which is not the case.
Okay. So.
With that, I move that the application for 1102 A Street, the Tacoma Federal Building, be deferred until the August 11th Landmarks Preservation Commission meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, proceed to vote. Those in favor of deferral of the application, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Motion passes. Under new business, I understand that this item C for 2100, it's in the staff report is 2102, but 2106 Pacific Avenue, that there are still some sign issues that they have unresolved.
Yes, that's correct. I was informed by the land use planner on the third floor that there was a determination that was just made that in fact the sign does not meet the logo graphic requirements as opposed to text lettering, and will need to be either reconfigured or there will need to be a variance process that's engaged there, and therefore. I advised the representative, the sign company representative, that it would not be appropriate for the commission to review it at this time until those issues are resolved. The clients, MultiCare, was concerned. They didn't want to appear to be evading the commission at all, and so they wanted to be sure that my recommendation that they not be here at this meeting not convey any disrespect to the commission. They'll be back when they're ready to. But it was definitely not something that I thought was appropriate for the commission to bring. You know, at this point, all you'd be able to do would be to provide general feedback to a non-actionable design. So I advised them that we would defer that one indefinitely until they were ready to come back.
And with that, we are to chair's comments. I have none, but okay. but I believe staff has comments.
Well, I just would like, for the record, if I could have a motion on the deferral of the sign.
I see. We will go back to item 4C. I move that 2106 Pacific Avenue, Union Depot Warehouse Special Review District, the sign with logo be deferred until the until such time as...
The applicant has a code-compliant design.
Yes. Is there a second? Thank you.
Everyone is...
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. All right. It's official. Chair has no comments. Does staff have comments?
Briefly, first of all, the Wedge Neighborhood Historic District had its public hearing on the 20th of July. And if you cannot sleep, you can always look it up online and see what the public testimony was and the number of questions that council asked of staff at that hearing. But generally, I characterize the testimony to be very, very positive in favor of the district. Any substantial difference from what we've heard before. It was generally speaking the same people or the same issues that were brought up in the same proportion. I counted in general about 20 individuals that testified in support of the district and 4 individuals that testified either with concerns or opposition. And so that was very nice. We are tentatively scheduled right now to bring this forward as a first reading item on the City Council agenda of August 17th. On Monday, the 2nd, the Neighborhoods and Housing Committee will be reviewing the testimony with staff on from the public hearing, and will be going over some of the key issues that were raised and some of the questions that the City Council raised during and after the hearing. At this point, I have no idea what the outcome of the Monday Neighborhoods and Housing Committee meeting will be. We're, if appropriate, we're seeking a due pass, either as presented during the public hearing process, if that's acceptable to the committee, or as they would like to amend it. I have not received any guidance from the council members that are on that committee, and so we'll see what happens. In addition, just for the commission's knowledge, there will be some items relating to the public hearing and so forth in the City Council's weekly report, or City Manager's weekly report to Council, which will be released later this week. And so if you want to see the materials that were sent regarding some of the Council's requests that came up during the hearing, there will be some information in there. And
can you say where that's found on the
Yeah, if you go to I believe the City Council agenda when it's posted, we'll have that information in it as a full packet. And you may be able to link through it by going to the City Manager's website and seeing weekly report on the City website. So if you go to City Manager's Office weekly report items. And if not, that can always be provided by the City Clerk's office too. What I will say is that, like I said, we're going to be looking. We don't know. I mean, there's a possibility either that we'll be asked to make amendments and then come back with those amendments, which means we tentatively be back at the council committee on August 16th, the day before that it would go to council, because we really wouldn't like a due pass out of this. This is the Neighborhoods and Housing. This is the only step that we have scheduled currently. We may go to study session when it goes to its council agenda item, either on the 17th or before then. But presently, this is the only committee review that's scheduled, and so it is possible that it may move on to City Council from here. What was I going to say? I guess that's all I'm going to say. The committee meeting, they meet at, I think is it 4:30? The Neighborhoods and Housing Committee in the conference room 248 in the main building. And it's open to the public, and they actually most of the time it's very informal. Most of the time, we'll take comments from individuals who show up. You know, they ask everybody to introduce themselves, and then invite people to take comments. And so they don't want to have people getting discussions with the council members necessarily back and forth, but they definitely encourage people to say what they're thinking. And so because the you know, it's a subset of council, the committee may not represent the full spectrum of the council's positions on things either. So just keeping that in mind and remembering that if you do want to show up, this is a discussion item at every step of the way. So but overall, I think that it was wonderful how many people showed up at the hearing, and some very, very good comments were made. And so I don't know, Ross, if you have any thoughts.
No, it's the same issue. MultiCare is still saying that their houses should be excluded. They're all in favor of the historic district as long as they doesn't impact their they say it's their ability to respond in the future to the health care needs of the community. So and that's the only reason they've given. But we've at least many of the residents have tried to portray it not as a battle between MultiCare and the neighborhood, but that it's something that will benefit everyone. So we'll wait to see how the city council reacts. But I had the same impression as Ruben did, that there were probably, of the 20 people that spoke in favor, probably about half were from the neighborhood and half were from North Slope or Historic Tacoma. There was one man there from South Tacoma who was heading up their drive to get a historic district. But all the people in favor were very much so, very positive. And the people opposed, one was from the neighborhood, one was MultiCare, and two people were concerned about properties that they owned in the proposed conservation district, one from Salvation Army and one that owns the eye clinic there at South Fifth and M.
With that, I will.
Fred has one in.
All right. Well, I was going to open it up to commissioners for. Well, but staff has additional comments.
I had just had one thing for guidance from the commission. I'm sorry. This just came up today. This we had a resident in the North Slope Historic District expressing concern with the Widow's Walk that was recently approved by the commission, 624 North J Street. That it looks too big, and they put up the renewal posts, but they haven't done anything else yet. And wondered, you know, if it was possible that they create a lower a baluster on the outside and then a higher one on the inside, that because of the visual plane, it's not visible. I responded saying that this is an item that was approved and has been duly permitted. And so, you know, anything that, you know, at this point that was done would be in the form of friendly advice or, you know, which is completely in the purview of a neighbor to walk over there and say, hey, you know, I think it'd look better if you did this. That would be the same sort of advice the commission could give too. I was not inclined to follow up with any sort of contact to the property owner. However, if the commission felt strongly about that, I could certainly take your guidance, and I did indicate that I would raise the issue to you guys.
Well, it was 3 feet high, which is code for anyone being up there.
Right.
Previously, it might have been lower because they quite often did do lower railings, but now if anyone's going to go up there, it has to be 3 feet.
Yeah, they would do 22.
Yeah, and I've seen a variety of them.
Yeah, right.
Well, of course, the idea of it would be a redesign, but what was proposed was, you know, a historic, you know, level like 22 inches or something, and then with a setback and a higher railing behind it, like the, you know, has been done in other areas, and because of the position of the house, it's, you know, probably 38 feet or something up there that you would not see it from the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. But it would be a redesign, and it would be a repermitting process. And this has been acted on by the commission and by the city, so the city has no cause to rescind the permit, for instance. And the owner did everything they were supposed to do to get their approval.
It's difficult. I mean, had they changed the materials to wrought iron, it would have been because of the smallness of the members, it would have been a little less.
But it was a wood,
right? Originally, it was a wood structure originally.
So. But it can also just be the reaction to. It's not there, and then it's there.
That's right.
Yeah. And once it's in place and they're used to it, it will probably look fine.
Sure, yeah. I just, you know, I don't want to make a mountain out of the molehill. I just told them that I would raise it to the commission and follow your guys' guidance. So I think I've got it. I'm done.
Okay, good.
Duly noted.
I will open the floor up to commissioners before we adjourn. Commissioner King.
I have three short items. First, as you can tell by the little flyer that was passed around, on August 14th. There'll be a dedication of Ben Gilbert Park at the north end of this building. The condominiums in the area will be sponsoring free ice cream cones. There'll be a hot dog vendor, and some of the new commercial establishments will have in the lawn area in front of the Ledger Building, Ledger Square, will have to be having displays up, and this includes the new art gallery, which will be opening on the 13th. So it'll be an exciting event. If you have children, bring children, because there's going to be a band, actually a barbershop quartet, and good entertainment. That's one. Two, I will not be able to attend the meeting on the 11th, where we'll be rehearing, presumably, something relative to the post office, the federal building item. And I just want to state my hope that the commission is fairly rigorous in its requirement for a well-thought-out professional site plan that includes some clear landscape plans, a clear definition of what is landscaping and what is paving, a minimization of the amount of paving, things of that nature. Three, also in the area of landscaping, I sense when the McMinniman group made presentations to us a couple of weeks ago, that there was some conflict between what the McMinnimans think is appropriate landscaping for the Spanish Steps and what the city may be thinking is appropriate landscaping for the city steps. And I hope that this commission can be instrumental causing some reconciliation of the attitudes of the two groups. Those are my three items.
Any other comments or announcements by commissioners? Hearing none, we are adjourned.
Thank you.